Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe here we are, April 1st and 2nd. March has come and gone, very cold month, relatively speaking. Just want to say big shout out to my running friends. We had a great turnout at the Gilmington 5K road race last Saturday, March 25th. And if you're listening to this morning on April 1st, it's actually the SEA 5K road race, which is part of the Capita Area Race Series. So if you're listening to this, there's still time to go over to that race by the Department of Transportation. This will be relevant because today we'll be talking about Canterbury Shaker Village, and the race that raises money for Canterbury Shaker Village is also part of the Capital Area Race Series, and that will occur on Saturday, May 13th. It's one of the tougher ones, but most fun because you're running in trails, but we'll get into that. So joining me this weekend is Kirk Leone, who is the managing director of Nathan Wexler. More importantly, he is the chair of the Canterbury Shaker Village Board, and he's former, like me, a former chair of Leadership New Hampshire and a former board member or current board member for the Concord Chamber of Commerce. So we're following similar paths, Kirk. And meanwhile, you're in the middle of tax season, right? So glad you could join. And you're also the current treasurer of Child and Family Services. So you have a very compelling schedule. And that's the great thing about New Hampshire. We can make a difference. But I know that that takes a lot of your time. So thank you for joining me this weekend.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Tom.
Awesome. And with us also is Susan Bennett, who is now the executive director of Canterbury Shaker Village. And Susan started in January, and she has a long history in this field. Most recently led the Lexington, Massachusetts Historical Society for 12 years. So, Susan, thank you for joining us this weekend as well. And let's start with this. You're fairly new. You've been here 3 or 4 months. What compelled you to take the position at Canterbury Shaker Village?
Well, I've been in Lexington for 12 years and had a wonderful experience being steeped in colonial history there. And when I saw the opportunity to work up here in New Hampshire, I was intrigued by embracing a new period of history. Knew a little bit about the Shakers, but I've learned a lot since I've been here. And then when I drove up and saw how really stunningly beautiful the site was, that was the deciding factor for me.
And it also still has the dental chair, right? That's I always ask
them. That's right.
Indeed it does.
Perfect. Now, Kirk, I mean, obviously, you know, I outlined your very busy schedule, and literally you are in the middle of tax season, and, you know, you've been chair of other boards. So what's compelled you to, you know, stay engaged with the Canterbury Shaker Village Board?
Well, Tom, first of all, there is some history with me and the Shakers. As when I was in high school, my mother was development director for a school in New Lebanon, New York, called the Darrow School, which is situated on what was the headquarters of the Shakers on a worldwide basis. So I lived in Shaker buildings surrounded by original Shaker furniture as a high schooler, and got to explore some of the buildings there. So I've had a long-term connection with the Shakers and always appreciated their entrepreneurialism, their design sensibility. It was always something that really intrigued me. So when I was asked to get involved with Canterbury Shaker Village, that was sort of a natural. But I did it with the knowledge that many historical museums these days are having, you know, some challenges in maintaining a sufficient audience and a sufficient level of support to keep them going.
And it is actually a beautiful site. I never knew that history. That's, you know, that's awesome. So maybe Susan or Kirk, you can kind of outline the history in Canterbury. In other words, how did the site evolve from a working Shaker community? And maybe when was the last Shaker actually there to what is now a pretty terrific outdoor museum?
Well, the Shaker community in Canterbury was founded in 1792, and I just realized that this is the 225th anniversary of the Shakers in Canterbury. So we're going to be having a birthday party for them on July 9th with the Canterbury community. The last Shaker who lived in Canterbury died in 1992. But even before that, the Shakers, being foresighted and concerned about the stewardship of their village, had already made plans for the future. And in 1969, turned the village over to a nonprofit museum organization with the proviso that the living Shakers could remain there. So they really nurtured their site and prepared for the future, I think, beautifully. And then since that time, the site has operated as a museum, and it was named a National Historic Landmark in 1993, which is something we're very proud of.
Awesome.
Just Tom, let me just throw in there, too, that this is one of the things that makes Canterbury Shaker so unique among their several Shaker villages that have been, that are now museums throughout the United States. But this is the only one that was turned into a museum by the Shakers themselves. And what makes that so unique is that every artifact that is at Canterbury Shaker Village, not only is it one of the largest, and in some circles known to be the largest collection of Shaker artifacts, but every one of them traces its history to a specific time in a specific location. And by that I mean often a shelf in a cabinet, in a room, in a building, the entire location and history of that artifact is intact. And that's really unique among the Shaker villages in the U.S.
Great. And your website is www.shakers.org. This is a question that I also have asked Jeannie at the Discovery Center, and something that I know all executive directors are challenged with. How do you meet the challenge of attracting a 21st century audience who, you know, are really, you know, glued to their electronic devices and feel that they can just click and see how the Shakers lived, and I don't need to go to the museum to you know, to see that. So how do you both of you sort of meet that challenge?
So I'm a history buff, so I would come just for the history, but I realize that I may not be the typical visitor these days. One thing I think the village has done very well, which I hope to continue and expand on, is to attract people for reasons other than history. And then once they get there, they'll be captivated by the very authentic experience that Kirk described. And that, one of the ways we're doing that is through special events. You've already mentioned the 5K on May 13th, but for example, our opening day festivities on May 6th, which are free to visitors, include music and a heifer parade with our neighboring Brookford Farm partners, all kinds of games for children. So we try to draw people to the site with those kinds of activities and then encourage them to pause, take a look at the historic buildings, and really appreciate what's there. I think another thing that we're focusing on more and more is that we have incredible natural resources at the village. We have trails, ponds, orchard. We have an organic garden in partnership with the Concord Food Co-op, which is a wonderful partnership. So people can experience history, but they can experience being in the out-of-doors, that sense of being in nature, and I think that gives a really complete experience. You know, the kids can run around outside while mom takes a look at the wonderful Shaker artifacts.
Great. Now, Kirk, you're both a numbers person and someone obviously so involved with the community, so you would probably be the first one that agrees with me that no matter how great the mission, the vision, you know, no money, no mission. So you've got a great board. I mentioned the website, shakers.org. What are some of the ways we can help as a community or business leaders are listening to this in terms of helping to sustain the Canterbury Shaker Village in terms of, you know, membership, sponsorships, things like that?
Well, Tom, we look at sort of many, many sources of resources, both financial and what you might call like sweat equity from our volunteer workforce. And in addition to being members in the normal sort of membership routine. We also tap into things like bus tours and other sources for potential visitors to the museum. What I think people also may not be aware of is that the draw at Canterbury Shaker Village is very international. And Rand McNally, for instance, in their recent book called 120 Unique Travel Experiences Throughout the World, named Canterbury Shaker Village as one of those sites. We also have such players as Ken Burns, who did his second major film on the Shakers and spent a great deal of time at Canterbury Shaker Village in that early documentary that he put together. But our reach out goes to corporate sponsorships for our events, not unlike many other organizations in the state. We reach out to specific entities that may have an interest in some aspect of the building preservation, which is one of our greatest challenges. We have 29 historic buildings that we have to maintain. And like everyone out there who's maintaining their own home, you know how those costs can add up. So that's always a challenge. But we've had great support from some of the local businesses, and we're looking for ways to expand the circle of supporters, both regionally throughout the state, further afield throughout the state, throughout New England, and in fact on a national and international scale.
And Tom, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Delta Dental for being a longtime sponsor of a number of our events. We really do appreciate your support.
And we're definitely happy to do that. And we've had a number of people involved, like our VP of Human Resources, Connie Roy Jakowski. And as I alluded to at one point, there's actually I think the oldest dental chair still in one of your buildings. So I like to justify my existence, Kirk, when I say to my board, why do we sponsor Canterbury Shaker Village? Well, they have a great dental chair. So the website, again, is shakersdog.org. Become a member. Look at the website. For my CEO colleagues out there, there are plenty of sponsorship opportunities. Tom Raffio, please stay tuned for more of Susan Bennett and Kirk Leone after commercial break. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Here we are, April 1st and 2nd. And again, if you're listening to this on Saturday, April 1st, the SEA 5K road race is at 10 a.m., so there's still time to go over to the Department of Transportation. That's a flat course. With my guests today, I just want to remind people, part of the Capital Year Race Series is also the Canterbury Shaker Village Cross Country 5K and Walk, and that's on Saturday, May 13th. You do not have to register for the entire series to do either one of those races. So if the spirit moves you, whether it's today, Saturday, April 1st, or Saturday, May 13th, please feel free to just get there about a half hour in advance, and you'll be able to get some good running in. And the course at Canterbury Shaker Village is probably challenging to some extent, but obviously it's the most pretty. So with me is Kirk Leone, who's the chair of the board, and also Susan Bennett, who's a relatively new executive director. So, Susan, you were saying that offline that there's some opportunities for corporations to host events, you know, whether it's a sort of a management retreat or some other a corporate event with clients. And people may not realize this, that it's a short 20 minutes from Concord. I'm always amazed, particularly when I run into New Hampshire folks that have lived in New Hampshire their whole life and they haven't been to the Flume or the Discovery Center or the Canterbury Shaker Village. So we just want to impress upon people, short skip and a jump, and you'll be at the Canterbury Shaker Village. But tell us some of the opportunities one might have to creatively use the Canterbury Shaker Village.
Well, the village is only 20 minutes away from Concord, but it feels like a world away when you're there. And I know, having been involved in various retreats and meetings over time, it's nice to get out of the office, away to a place where you can kind of think creatively, differently. And so I'm hoping that we can repurpose some of our space so that we can work with corporate sponsors who would like to have a getaway and an opportunity to think about their business from a little bit of a remove. And one thing that Kirk has really impressed upon me as a theme is how entrepreneurial the Shakers were. They were always at the forefront of industry, business, television, use of electricity out at the village. And so I think it's a great place for corporate folks to be thinking about invigorating their businesses and new ideas. And that's a theme that we'd really like to make apparent through hosting some of our corporate partners.
Yeah, Tom, we had an interesting experience where we took some folks on a special tour that were from a corporate setting. And
not a bunch of accountants.
Not this time. In fact, one group was a bunch of building engineers who were so fascinated by the science behind how Shakers built their structures that they were hugely inspired by it and wanted to come back and bring the rest of their membership to the site to take a look at those. But I think it, you know, really is a frequent misconception. And it's why I think some people who have not yet visited the village really ought to go and check it out. And that misconception is that the Shakers were somehow steeped in history and were not interested in technological advancement. And in fact, this was the breeder site for business entrepreneurship, not only in terms of technology. This was, after all, the first electrified community in the state of New Hampshire. It was fully electrified before Manchester or Concord or any of the hubs of what we think of as advanced commerce. They were inventors and had many patents back in their years of productivity. And when they came up with a good idea that worked well for their own community, they would look for opportunities in the business world. So they were, for instance, the builders and purveyors of industrial washing machines that were used at many of the grand resorts in New Hampshire and around the country. And it's something that people don't often realize about the Shakers. I'm also really impressed by the gender equality that they embraced at a time when most business was very male-dominated. And the Shakers were the suppliers of college sweaters for most of the Ivy League colleges for many, many years. And that was headed up by two Shaker sisters who would go down by oxen cart down to Boston and down to Connecticut, to Yale and Harvard, Dartmouth, to negotiate the contracts for that production. And when you think about the role of women at that time in our history, this was a really special place with a special attitude towards contribution.
I'll have to dust off my Harvard sweater there. And also, and I'd mentioned this earlier, but you talk about innovation and being ahead of their time in a lot of ways. Like I said, that's, I think it's the oldest dental chair, so they were really understanding what I always end every program with, is you can't have good overall health without good oral health. And of course, the Shakers recognize that. So Susan, what would it, if I made my way on 106, and it's much easier to get to than the Oval Track, by the way. But I also agree with Susan, you get there like you are like in a definitely different nature mode, and it's awesome. 20 minutes from Concord, but you might as well be, you know, 500 miles away from Concord. But what makes the trip worthwhile?
Well, I think you can have a full day of enjoyment at the village. Obviously, we love it when people want to take our formal tour to see the buildings and the artifacts. But you can also wander on your own if you wish, which is another way to experience it. I would take one of the trails. We have three, and they're a mile or 2 miles in length, to get away from the core of the village. I'd wander around the ponds, which are lovely, terrific. And as Kirk was referring to entrepreneurship, a source of water power and mill operation during the heyday of the village, we are revitalizing the orchard. So that it'll be a place to enjoy and in the fall perhaps pick apples. And we have an organic garden that I mentioned earlier in cooperation with the Concord Food Co-op, and enjoying that garden and the other revitalized traditional gardens would be a great way to complete the day. We have food service through the farm shop, Shaker Table. And so I think there's really something for everyone, and you can come and spend an hour, or you could spend a complete day and have a terrific time.
And get some quality fruits and vegetables at the farm stand, correct? That's awesome. Are the cows still there? This is a funny story. So at the race back about 5 years ago, the lead runner went off course or something, and all of a sudden the cows got a little anxious. So are the cows still out there?
Yes, we still have the partnership with Brookford Farm and the cows. And as I said, they'll be in evidence on May 6th on our opening day.
Awesome. That'll be here before you know it. The website, again, is shakers.org. Now, is there an opportunity, if I'm a historian and I will try to make it out there, but is there a way that I could have access to those resources even if I can't make it out to Canterbury?
One thing I'm excited about that we're planning to institute this year is to make our digitized photographs available online to visitors from wherever. We have 8,000 digitized photographs accomplished through a grant that we had a few years back, and now we're planning to put them on our website in kind of a thematic fashion, so people who want to explore children at the village or farming at the village, entrepreneurship at the village, can see an online exhibit of photographs from through the ages. And again, we would like people to enjoy them from afar, but we also hope that'll bring people closer to us.
Absolutely. I think if they witness that, they would definitely make the trip. Now, Kurt, you've got a great board. I don't know if you want to put a plug in if you're looking to, in the future, I know in terms of great board leader that you are, you're looking 5 years out. So if we've intrigued people, whether you're a business leader or someone that's into history, and they're interested in perhaps joining the board, how would they go about doing that? And do you have you'd mentioned that you have 29 buildings, so obviously one of your roles as a board of directors is make sure that you have a business plan for all these assets, because as you say, all of us that own a home, the joy of home ownership, and that's just one house, and no matter how new or how old or how you know relatively new the house is, there's always something going on. So tell us about the board and kind of your business plan.
Well, we've been embarking on a board expansion, both in number and, quite frankly, in geographic footprint. So not only are we interested in potential board members from New Hampshire and close by, but we're also looking down into Massachusetts and to other places. This is, after all, a national treasure, not one that's just New Hampshire. It happens to be a national treasure that's right in our own backyard. And so we want to have a board that's representative of the kind of reach that this organization really has. And so for those who might be interested in either volunteering, we have a number of opportunities for volunteering, both in terms of just helping us to maintain the village, to work at the various events like the road race or the opening day or the big car show that we typically have later in the season. So we're looking for those opportunities. We also have a group called the Corporators, which are a little unique to most nonprofit organizations. You might think of it as a special resource group or kind of as a board light. And those members play a special role without the full fiduciary responsibility that's inherent in the board itself. And we use that group to populate many of the working committees that we have that relate to buildings and grounds and all the usual things.
And it gives you a nice pipeline for the board.
And
I see them meeting occasionally at 2 Delta. So the website, again, is shakers.org. We've got the opening event on May 6th, the road race on May 13th, the birthday party that Susan mentioned on July 9th. So, Susan, we're so glad you joined the team, what we call Team New Hampshire. I'll give you the last word. You know, how would you summarize the Shake or Canterbury Village experience?
I'm just having a great time. I'm delighted to be here. Love working with Kirk and the Board of Trustees and the wider Canterbury Shaker Village community. Look forward to contributing however I can during my tenure here.
Well, we're blessed that you joined us right here in New Hampshire. www.shakers.org. Tom Raffio, return next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And thank you, Kirk and Susan, for joining me this weekend.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.